I was thinking about us breathing. How many of you are breathing this morning by the grace of God? Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound, with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals." Amen? And then look how it finishes in verse 6. This is the way Psalms finish. "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." By His grace we're breathing today. Amen? And therefore we are able to praise. So as we continue to worship the Lord this morning, let's just lift His name up and praise Him. Amen? That's what He wants from us today. Lord, give us the heart, the mindset, the direction, Lord, and the joy to praise You, Lord. You are in control above the universe, Lord. And Lord, You have time in Your hands, Lord. Our very lives, Lord. So Lord, as we are in this place, allow us to acknowledge You, to lift Your name on high, Lord, to rejoice in You, Lord, and to praise You above everything else. In Your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's continue to praise Him. Give us this heart, Lord. A heart that loves You. That adores You, Lord. May it be that we experience such manifestation and revelation of Your grace in our lives, Lord. Of Your majesty and power, Lord. That we may fall down in our knees, Lord, and worship You. Exalt You, Lord. That we may grow in our ability to understand Your character, Your attributes, Lord, Your holiness, as we see also Your grace, Lord. Lord, we worship You. We worship You, Lord, that You have called us Your people, Your sons. We thank You, Lord, that although we weren't a people, You have called us Your people, Lord. And that for Your sake, Lord, we are able to stand in this place of grace, Lord, and come to You, Lord, with a humble heart and just receive Your goodness in our lives. Reveal the things that are in our heart that hold us, Lord, from worshiping You with the right mindset and heart. And add it to Lord. And even this morning, Lord, as we are singing and worshiping and looking at Your Word, Lord, enable us to see the struggles that sometimes shouldn't be there, Lord, if we surrender them to You. Shouldn't be there if we trust You, Lord, with all of our hearts. We thank You this morning for Your power in us, Your presence in the midst of Your people. And Lord, as we continue this morning, allow us to see Your goodness, Your grace, in Your truth, and also in the faithfulness of others that have served in this place, Lord, with a humble attitude, Lord, to honor Your name, loving You continually. In Your mighty name we pray this morning, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about the spanking, that not getting spanked when you're growing old. You know, I'm going to have to talk to this guy and see what's going on there, because I still get the spankings here. 41 years old, and I'm still getting the spankings. I want to invite you to the book of Mark, chapter 7, this morning. We are going through the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, and we are picking up the beginning of chapter 7. It's amazing in many ways how we are going through a book of the Bible, and very often God speaks to us in regard to the situations that we are facing and being challenged with or being blessed by. And yet we are just going through the Scriptures. And as I was studying this passage, getting ready for the message, and then as I felt, you know, that God was kind of leading us to speak of these things, I thought, boy, what a timing passage here. We're going to read verse 1 through 8 this morning. And I want to talk for a few minutes about the being followers with the heart for Christ, following the Lord with the right heart, the right mindset, the right understanding and attitude. And it's all about the heart, as Jack was saying. It says here in verse 1 Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him, to Jesus, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked them, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." So, these people, Isaiah said, honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. It's all about traditions and doctrines, ideas of men. And then Jesus says, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Some traditions are good. Amen? But when we leave the commandment of God to follow the tradition of men, we are failing to obey the Lord. Now, we look at this and there is a contrast between these two groups. And one group is Jesus and his disciples, and the other group is the Pharisees and the scribes. And many times we go to the Bible and the Bible speaks to us in a positive way what we are to be doing. But then also we go to the Bible at times and there is a negative illustration of what we shouldn't be doing. Amen? And that's the way the Bible speaks to us. Now, Jesus has been ministering and teaching the multitudes, as we saw in the past messages. And he's healing. He has resuscitated people by his power. He has healed the leper. He has done so many things, fed the multitudes. And as many as touched the garment of his, the fringe of his garment, many of them were healed. And this is seems like a climax of his ministry in the Gospel of Mark here in chapter 6. Now, in the beginning of chapter 7, what we are going to start seeing is a clash that is about to take place between the scribes, the Pharisees, and Jesus and his disciples. Now, this is already been forming in the previous chapter, chapters 1, 2, and 3. But it is at this point that Mark starts to expound on this situation that is going on between the Pharisees and the scribes and Jesus and his disciples, and how there is a contrast in everything they're doing here. Now, when we look at this, if we are followers of Christ, we are not to be enthusiasts of empty religion. We are not to be fans of empty religion. This is what they had, an empty religion that led their lives, and their hearts were not in anything that they were doing. It's something very sad that is going on with these men. Now, if we are going to be followers of the Lord, we must have a heart, first of all, that is motivated by love. Loving the Lord, loving what He's doing, understanding that He is the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, that He has come to save and to rescue people in the place where they are. And they weren't motivated by love, and because they had no love towards Christ, towards God, they had no love to the disciples. They had no love to other people around them. They were just vain. All that they cared for was their doctrine, how they look, how they appear, things that they were doing. It was image. It was fame. It was being important. In fact, this is funny, you know. I'm looking through many scriptures here in the New Testament, but Jesus was against this very attitude in many ways. And many times he was talking about these hypocrite people that had no heart in what they were doing. In Matthew 6, he told people as he was teaching, and they probably heard the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men." Beware of those things. Because Jesus continues to say, when you pray, do not be a hypocrite. Because many pray in the corners, in the street corners, to be seen by others. And they already have the reward. The reward is the fame and the image that they were protecting and gaining when they were praying. And when you fast, do not look like a man that has a disfigured face, because they fast to be seen by others. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is just attacking the hypocrisy and doing things superficially. And he continues to go on and he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, because the treasures on this earth are going to disappear. But then he says, where your treasure is, remember, that's where your heart is. What matters in Christianity is the heart. Amen? Is the heart that we have to serve the Lord and to come to Him. Now, when we look at this in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, when the Pharisees gathered to Him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they gathered together, and they gathered because they had a loveless motivation. They were trying to attack the Lord. The Pharisees and the scribes became unified to ask questions to Jesus because they had a motivation in which they wanted to prove Him and His disciples wrong in everything that He was doing. Why would they do that? Well, when you look at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, and we went through this, in Mark 1:22, it says that they were, the people over there listening to the Lord were astonished at Jesus' teaching, for He taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. So when Jesus came, He was undermining the authority of the scribes. When you have religion, you don't have authority. There's no heart. Okay. Now also, if you look at this, Jesus was a threat to the way they were teaching. But in Mark 2:15-16, as Jesus reclined at the table in the house and He was ministering to people and eating with them, it says many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. Tax collectors and sinners. And when they saw this, when the Pharisees and the scribes saw this, that He was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to His disciples, why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners? How dare He to do these things when they are sinful people? So Jesus was teaching and bringing a salvation by grace, not by works. But it was not in accordance to the religious orientation that these men were proclaiming and promoting continually. Now we continue to look at the story here in Mark chapter 7. And we see in verse 2, they saw that some of His disciples ate with hands that were defiled. Now look at the religion. The religion is always looking at the outer appearance. Okay? Why are they doing this? How are they doing this? How do they look when they do this? They're not thinking about adoration, worship, the attitude of the heart. They saw that some of His disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly. There was a way to wash their hands. And they felt like this was a way to serve God, not caring for the heart. And they were holding to the tradition of the elders. But then Mark goes on to tell us even more than this. It says, when they come from the marketplace in verse 4, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observed, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. There were many things that they were doing. And they had accumulated as they were translating and interpreting the law, and they were saying, you have to do these things to become saved. So the Pharisees and the scribes were motivated by tradition. The outer appearance of things that had formed as they were interpreting the law, and they were adding commandments upon commandments that clearly contradicted the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? What is God seeking in men and women? He is seeking the heart. Amen? You remember when David went, God told him, why are you continually crying for Saul? I have rejected Saul. Saul is not serving me. In fact, I sent him to kill the Amalekites. And when he went over there, he didn't care to do what I was calling him to do. He saved the best of the cattle to bring in and to do sacrifices. And then when Samuel confronted Saul, Saul said, well, the people made me do this. You know, and we brought the best of the cattle to offer it to God. And God says, I am not pleased by this behavior, right? Because I don't care what you're doing. What I care is your obedience and your heart. So now God is talking to Samuel, and God says to Samuel, Samuel, go and anoint the next king. Now don't make a mistake this time, okay? Because when you go over there, you're going to look at the sons of Jesse and you're going to think, oh, this is the one. In fact, Samuel did. The Bible says that Samuel went and he said, I come to offer a sacrifice, but I'm going to meet with the family of Jesse. And all the sons came, remember? And the Bible says that when he saw the firstborn of Jesse, he thought, oh, surely before my presence is the anointed of God. Because he saw him, a tall man, looking good, strong, ready for battle. But look what God says in 1 Samuel 16:7. He says, do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. Whoa. I don't care about the outer appearance. And then God says, for the Lord sees not what men see. How many of you know that? God is not watching what we watch, what we see. And then he says, men look at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. This morning, as you're here sitting with us, how is your heart? I mean, God is looking at your heart. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says that he seeks and he searches the heart. And Joel, the Bible says, do not tear your clothes, but tore your heart before my presence. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Bible says that when the people of Israel was in captivity, God says, you will be there for 70 years, and after 70 years I will bring you back, because you will seek me, and you will seek me with all your heart. It is the heart. The heart is the place where we start to follow the Lord, to worship the Lord, to obey the Lord. And you have two groups of people here, the disciples and Christ. And they are doing everything by the heart of God in them. But then you have a group of interpreters of the law, the Pharisees. They were following the tradition of the elders. They had no heart. It was all about the outer appearance in this. So Jesus says to them in verse 8 of Mark 7, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. By following these ideas and traditions and religion and all this. And the only way in which we are called to follow the Lord and serve Him is when we are motivated by authentic love in our hearts. And we love because God loves us first. Amen?
Amen.
And just remember, if we do not love, it is because we have not experienced the love of God. And by these, people will know that you are my disciples in the fact that you love one another. But Lord, how can we love one another? Only through the love of God being experienced in our lives. I go back to verse 6 when Jesus talked to them, and look what he says. He said to them, the Pharisees and the scribes, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I mean, they were honoring him. They were doing the right thing. They were going through the motions. Do we go through the motions sometimes? We do. You know, and sometimes we sing and we say, Lord, we love you. And I am convicted by songs like the one that we sang just a few minutes ago, because, you know, God loves us. Amen? I love to sing that God loves me. And God loves me in spite of where my heart is very often. But you know, Lord, when I say, do I love you? Do I really love Him? Is that love a reality in my life? Because very often my heart is troubled with things of this world. And Jesus says, be careful, you do not honor me with the lips, but your heart is away from me. It's not doing the right thing. So God is searching the heart. And God's mindset and purpose is the heart of His followers. Now this morning here, it's an important morning, a blessed time, because our brother Ed is going to resign from the board of elders today. In fact, he's going to be traveling, but he has served for 24 years in the board of elders. Amen. What a blessing. He, in many ways, has reflected a heart that is following God. I was thinking of this, and the Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And one of the things, if you see Ed, is that he always was doing this by the heart. And I really appreciate that. From the moment when I came to church back in 2003 and I met him, and then later on when I became part of ministry here in 2007, there was one thing with Ed. He's short in words. You know that. He's going to tell you what he feels right away. But you know, he's always being led by the heart. I pray and pray that we always do that here as leaders in this church, that we serve God with our heart, and everything else is going to flow from there. Look at the things that Jesus is saying here. When you have the heart following the Lord, you will love and you will honor the Lord from heart. And that's something that we see in the right mindset in leaders and elders. You have a group of guys there, the Pharisees and the scribes, that are doing everything just superficially, and they're not honoring the Lord, and therefore they don't love the people. But then you have the disciples that are being trained to serve and seek the Lord with their hearts, and they will love God and they will honor the Lord, but then they also will be genuine in their views, convictions, and lifestyle. And that's something that I see in Ed. He was always genuine in everything he said. He had strong convictions of following the Lord before anyone else, but then he proved it with his lifestyle. And we need that kind of leadership today in the church. Amen?
Amen.
We need that kind of leadership. Now, when you do that, when you love God in conviction and lifestyle, you will also love the people and seek the well-being in the church. Edifying the church, edifying people around you and everything that you do. So we praise the Lord for Ed and the time that he's been in ministry. I look at this, Ed, and look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, in regard to elders. And in these four verses it says, I exhort the elders among you. This is for the elders. Not the elders of the scribes and Pharisees, but the elders of the church that have the heart. As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. And then look at the commandment of God to the elders. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Shepherd. Be a pastor. Care for that flock. And then it says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Not because you are forced. Not because people is watching. Not because you have an image to give. But do it willingly. Do it willingly as God will have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And that's something that defines godly leadership. A leadership that flows from the heart. So, motivated by love is one of the characteristics in which God wants us to serve and to obey and to lead as leaders in the congregation. But when we do, when we follow the Lord motivated by love, we also live with the devotion. And the Pharisees and the scribes had worship, but they didn't have the right devotion. They were not following the Lord and the commandments of God. They had left the truth aside, and now they are living just with superficiality in their lives. In Mark 7:6-7, again, look what it says in the two verses combined. Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And then it says, in vain do they worship me. See, when there's no devotion, everything you're doing is vanity, is vain. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. There's no devotion, it's a life that is just superficial, is just going in vanity. So real devotion comes from a heart that not only loves the Lord, but seeks to obey the commandments of God. Seeks the commandments of God and leaves aside the commandments of men. So truth needs to matter in our lives. But when we see the truth of God, we are to follow it with love and we are to live it with devotion. And I want to ask Ed to come here this morning as he shares with us the blessing of leading and serving for 24 years as an elder. Let me find the mic here.
That would be good.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I think Samuel is overplaying me. You know, 24 years has gone by very quickly. I'm going to take you back to 1997, sometime in the spring, I don't remember when. And I knew I was in trouble because Doug invited me to lunch. And I thought, okay, who did I offend? What did I do? I have a tendency to do that. So he says, I'm short of words and sometimes they're misunderstood. But Doug started off the lunch with some questions. And little did I know what he was doing. But he started the lunch by saying, you know, WPCC And back then it was Winterfar Christian Church. I'm sorry, Winterfar Christian Center. And we moved to this building and we called it a church. But Doug started his lunch by saying that the church has never had elders. They had a board that handled finances and other admin jobs, but now they were ready to take on some elders. And when I serve in that capacity, well, I gave a resounding no. I won't do that. I had retired. We'd moved from Dayton, Ohio to here, and we're kind of setting in. We like to do things, and I just didn't want to take on responsibility. I didn't want other people thinking I was good and all that kind of stuff. But Doug said, well, would you pray for it? Pray about it. And I said, sure. And so I came back a week later with a decision. And during this week, the Holy Spirit was talking to me through my wife. And she said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit has nudged me. And there's some neat pictures up there. I'm having trouble talking and looking at the pictures at the same time. I didn't understand why he was talking to her through me. And so I began doing a little studying, and I looked at Genesis chapter 2, and if you can look that, it says in verse 21, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought to the man. And the man said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She is to be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So I understood that God was talking to me, but he was doing it through my wife, and we're one. So guys, the wrong response from me would have been, well, the Holy Spirit didn't nudge me, so I'm not going to do it. He nudged her who nudged me. God wanted me to do something. He wanted me to understand what he wanted to do, and I guess he thought that I would listen to her more than I would listen to him. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I just can read about it and know what's going on here. So, guys, listen to the counsel of your wife, okay? Listen to the counsel of your wife. So as we go through these remarks, you can understand why I have said what I've said on some of these areas. But 24 years ago, at the nudging of the Holy Spirit through Sue, I told Doug, okay, I will do this for a year. Years have passed. So how does God know, or how does one know when God wants you to do something? How does one know when God says it's okay for you to stop? It's simple. You will know. You will know. And you'll see these as we go through the remarks. You'll see how this has worked. So here we go on a 24-year journey. And I want you to know that there have been very few negative instances during these 24 years. It's been positive. The elder board at WPCC is a board of people that don't have a personal agenda. They have lots of integrity and they have lots of ethics. And that's an important thing to have if you're going to be leading God's church. Because the key to this process is to understand one thing. The church is not Samwell's church. The church is not Doug's church. The church is not Ed's church. It's God's church. We must remember that in all of our decisions and everything we do, that we are doing what God wants us to do through the Holy Spirit, and it's His church, and we can go to sleep at night and not worry about it. And that's a good thing to have. While administering to the needs of the sheep of the congregation, we also have to remember that we are God's church, and we have to be aware, and Doug has said this many times, that sheep bite. So we're leading the sheep, but they bite. So you got to be careful. You don't want to get bit. And sure enough, we've had some potholes along the way. And sometimes the sheep have come up and bit us. We'll continue to have potholes. As we go through life, as the church goes through, as Samwell goes through as a church, we will have potholes. And we need to repair those potholes. But because we have potholes doesn't mean we're a failure. It just means that we are ministering to what? A bunch of people. And when we have people involved, you have a lot of different things going on. So sure, we've had some church discipline issues during these times, but we've always felt the support of the congregation. As I continued to serve, I came to realize something, that, you know what, Ed, you're in this for the long haul. I haven't told you to stop. And I thought, so there goes my 1 year time. I guess it's going to be 2 years. And it kept going, and it kept going. And, you know, 24 years went very, very fast. I did not know that they could go that fast. But I didn't know for how long I was going to serve. Because of this mindset, we on the board were not in a hurry to accomplish things. We didn't have to beat elections, and we didn't have to worry about things like that. We could do what God wanted us to do. And during my time on the board, we didn't have personal agendas. People were in for the long haul. And I can think about the elders that we've had. The first three elders, one of them had moved here, left his business back in Washington or Oregon, I'm not sure, one of the states, and had moved here, and his partner was letting the business go to rack and ruin. And Don had to go back, had to move. So he was an elder for 3 months. Other than that, everybody has been longer terms, and we've managed to function that way. The construction of our building is a prime example. And what I'm talking about now is the building that goes here, goes back to the doors, to the atrium around here. So this little area here was our first building. And I think of building the church sort of like Moses leading the people out of Egypt. He took a 90-day trip and turned it into 40 years. We kind of felt that way with the church. We could build this thing probably, I don't know, if we got going on it, maybe a year. It took us 3 years to build just this little bitty area right here. And most of the time it was because of a commitment we made not to go into debt. So we didn't have money, so we didn't do any building. And believe me, we were pressured a lot through members of the congregation, because at that time, interest rates were really, really low. And they said, you know, you could borrow the money and get this thing done and on the road. And we could, yes. And it could have been even done cheaper. But when we were done, we were done. It was ours. We didn't have to pay anybody anything. So we took 3 years to build this building when it could have probably gone faster. We initially had a contract to buy 13 acres of land kind of over here across Route 40. And we could have got 13 acres for $108,000. But we ran into some stumbling blocks due to the fact that we would be landlocked. Legally, we could have demanded an easement, but we chose to cancel that contract rather than have an irate neighbor and setting a bad example. Besides, God had a better plan for us. We bought our current property, 32 acres instead of 13, for $101,000. Rather than 108 for 13. So God had a better plan, and so I'm glad we waited for him. The point I'm trying to make here is that in 24 years I have served on the board and have seen how the Holy Spirit works when we are still and wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary." And that was our theory. We would go and do what God wanted us to do. And if we had to wait, we had to wait. And we were waiting. But you know what? We could go home and sleep at night. We hadn't done projects where we had to do something. And whenever we started to do something, we always made sure we had the money. And I can remember one case, I think it was an electrical permit, that it was about to run out, and we needed $20,000 to do the work, and we were about to lose the timing on the permit, and we had to start over. And just miraculously, that amount of money showed up. So these kind of things happened as we were waiting on God rather than pushing God and having our agenda. We were using his agenda. So that's a good thing to keep doing. And so remember, guys, earlier I said to receive and pay attention to the counsel of your wives. Many times over the years, as I've done lessons or done sermons or whatever, I would get bogged down. And I think, I can't get this. I tore up several sermons because they weren't what God wanted. God had told me not to use the internet, but to use His Word. And I had used His internet a lot, so I took some of it out. And got all done. He said, no. I said, all of it. I'm not going to let you finish until you do what I tell you to do, bud. You know, slap, slap. And again, Holy Spirit would talk through Sue, and she would give me input. We had different gifts. She had a gift of organization. I had a gift of coming up with a bunch of facts. And so I couldn't do what I wanted to do because I wanted to use the internet, and God didn't want me to use the internet. And Sue finally told me that. She said, you're off on the wrong track. And so I thought, okay. So I got rid of everything. And sure enough, boom, and all this stuff came. And then her organization skills also were great because I would write all these facts down, and she would read it, and she said, nobody's going to understand this. You're going too fast. You got too many things in there that you're not going to get. It's not going to work. So she would organize it, and then I'd give it, and you know what? People would understand it. So counsel, whatever counsel your wife wants to give you, take it. It's free. And it's your Holy Spirit talking to you as He would be doing in the Bible. So remember that. The same principle of following the Holy Spirit and listening to your wife's counsel. Let me know when it was time to step down. Many times over the past year or two, we had discussed my leaving the board. And I decided, you know, it's time to turn this over to the young guys and give me a break. But I would be undecided. I wasn't decisive whether, okay, should we leave or should we not leave? And I didn't know. I had no clear guidance. And again, Sue's guidance through the Holy Spirit was always the same. Always the same. You will know. So how about that? So about a month ago, I knew. I shared with Pastor Samuel that effectively the 1st of April, I would be leaving the board. And for the past year, many of you have done the same thing. Because of the coronavirus, we've stayed in our home and been virtual semi-isolationist. We now have our vaccinations. We plan to do some traveling. Matter of fact, we just recently got back from an 11-day road trip. And we got more things that we're going to be doing. I don't know where we're going to be going. I don't know when at this point in time. I just know it's going to happen. And but I have a very strong feeling about being on the board. If I'm on the board, I'm on the board. I can't be on the board and be traveling and doing things through Zoom and all these other things, which I don't understand anyway. So I can't do that. That goes against everything that I want to happen to being on the board. So my thought is, okay, I'll leave the board. God has made it very clear to us that we are released. It's time for the young guys to take over. We will be available when we're here to help in any way we can. I want you to know that the church is in really good hands. The board consists of scripturally sound young men who love and are committed to WPC and to the congregation. Now, admittedly, some of these guys are younger than others. But we have a nice balance of age versus youth. And I think that's important to keep that. And I know that's one of Samuel's goals, is to keep that balance. So we have some 40-somes and we have some 70-somes. And that's a good thing to have. Pastor Samuel has been ordained by God to lead this church. And he will do that as God wants him to do. He has my full support, and Sue and I will be available to him anytime we can help. For me, I've got some perks. I get to keep my mailbox. I can't keep my parking spot because we don't have parking spots. But when you see my Ranger sitting in the parking lot somewhere, you'll know we're in town. And I think most important, Sue and I, and I can get kind of emotional with this, but we want to thank you for allowing us to serve. This has been a very honor to serve you and to serve God. I just can't explain to you how fast 24 years have gone in such a positive way. And I'm confident that God has given his blessings for us to leave the board. So that's it.
Praise God.
You're a rascal, you know that.
Oh, boy. Praise God.
My board.
Let's pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for Ed and Sue. Beyond words, Lord, the years that they have modeled with faithfulness, Lord, to listen to you and to guide us in many ways, Lord. How many of us have been touched by their ministry in some way of capacity, Lord? Thank you. Thank you for giving them that heart, Lord, that even though they came here to retire and to enjoy, Lord, they found a vision and a mission and they followed it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give us men like Ed and women like Sue that are willing to step in the gap and represent you, Lord. Give us men that are willing to die, Lord, for the sake of the kingdom, Lord. And as we saw Ed from leading messages or groups to Israel, Lord, or even Sunday school or VBS, Lord, the many things that he did, Lord, in collaboration with Sue, Lord. Thank you. Bless him, Lord. Strengthen him continually. And Lord, as he takes time to see his grandkids and kids, direct them and guide them continually. Give them health and strength, Lord, and allow us to honor them, Lord, as you will want us to. Because they are, Lord, really faithful to you in many ways. And they weren't perfect, but Lord, they were honest and humble and transparent. So we worship you for that. Thank you, Lord, for their leadership and their example in many ways. Amen. 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 Thank you. Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, that is, you're going to keep your number, right?
Yeah.
You're not only keeping your box, but your 1-800 number.
My 1-800 number. It's actually a website now.
So, oh, you're getting updated now, so uh-huh. It's technology.
I can ignore it.
So.
The
website is going to be www.whocares.com.
See, okay, so. The board designated me to handle complaints. So that's when I started the website, 1-800-WHO-CARES. And they're keeping that to me, so I get that along with my parking space.
Now he's going to keep a position as an emeritus elder, and when we need him for counsel or advice or any other thing, you may sit down here for a minute here. I haven't finished the message this morning, no. Anyways, we're going to bring him on to the board. He's not going to have a voting position, but he does have an emeritus elder position in which we are. He's gracious that he wants to be available when we need him or want to give him a phone call or we need some advice and counsel. But with that, you know, as Ed is leaving, and even before, we had talked for a few years about the time when he was going to be leaving. But even before he told me in the middle of March that he was considering leaving the board and resigning, we had in mind to add another elder to our board, someone who has been already eldering in many ways, and that is Bob Cartmell, present here in the congregation this morning. We are blessed by Bob and Rhonda through their service and leadership for many, many years already. In 2014, Bob and Rhonda moved up here to Grand Lake. They had a house, and they moved up here, and they were looking for a church to not only attend, but a church to serve. And when they came here, they liked it. They liked to be here, and they started serving. And pretty soon after that, Bob became a member of the administrative board, and we were able to see his capacity and gift with numbers, something that we really need in our board, okay? And so not only that, but he started going to mission trips to Nepal, like going to Nepal with Glenn and doing different things. But in 2017, when the project of our school started and Mark Line was I mean, you know, he's not here this morning, but he was going full guns with buying and building and everything, and he needed somebody to work with them on numbers. Bob was there. So Bob started to oversee all the expenses and everything that was taking place in the new building, and he started joining our meetings, elder meetings, giving us reports on financials every month, and he became the head of the administrative board in January of 2018. And God has blessed Bob and his leadership with us in many ways. In fact, he's been just giving us counsel in many issues through these years. In October, when Pastor Doug and I, when we took that transition, Bob was there helping us and giving us advice on how to do this and the finances and everything that was taking place. And in the same way, Rhonda is a great support to the church. She's been involved in the school. She's a member of the school board. And she's been leading Bible studies and coordinating with BSF here on Friday mornings, Bible study fellowship. And it's just a blessing to see them working and leading and eldering from VVS as well to the boards and in many capacities. So from this day on, we are going to give a time for you to call us with the comments about Bob becoming an elder. Now, if you have any complaints, you can still call Ed here, okay? But if you have positive feedback, call me, okay? And the Bible says that any elder needs to be above reproach when they come to the board. And we do this as a church. Pastor Doug used to do it. The board used to do this. We take a time in which we consider the elder, the new elder, and just see what the Lord is leading. If there is anything that we need to know of Bob, we will take about 4 or 5 weeks. And on May 16, we are going to be ordaining him as an elder here in the congregation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray here before our worship team leads us in another song. Father, again, we thank you for the example and the strength and the faithfulness of men and women that are following you, Lord. And Lord, as they follow you, we want to follow them, Lord. Paul used to say, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. And Lord, we pray that you give us that anointing and direction. And Lord, a commitment to your word. A commitment to serving you from the heart, not superficially. And Lord, allow us to do this continually for the sake of your glory and for the edification of the body. In your mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord, for Ed and Sue. Thank you for Bob and Rhonda being willing to step up and continue to lead in many ways, Lord. Lord, guide us. Direct your church in this time to do what you have called it to do in this place where we are. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and worship the Lord with this last song as we come.